Kids, episode 114 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirtier. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films Finding Dory, The Shallows, and Independence Day Resurgence. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look us up on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe. Or search us out on Facebook. Just search for the Hodgepodge Podcast and like our page. And we have changed it up a little bit because the plan was to do Finding Dory and Pixar movies, but someone is conspicuously absent today.
Why do we need him to do that? I don't understand why.
He was here and he was going to be involved, and you know. So.
If you're listening, you know who you are.
Matt's out of town, so. Now we are forced to continue on without him today. Which is okay, because in all honesty, I don't think he's seen any of these movies, so it's so it's okay. We'll talk about the Pixar movies some other time. But yeah, so we saw it's ramping up to 4th of July, so a lot of movies are coming out. Last week was like, what, 3 or 4 movies came out?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because the other one was... Free State of Jones, which we avoided like the plague.
Well, originally we were both pretty interested, yes. And after seeing the reviews, we were like, oh, okay.
It kind of recovered a little bit. It's doing better than it was when the first reviews came out.
And then it's at 38% now instead of 17%?
No, I think it's like in the 40s or something like that. Okay. But, and on Metacritic, Metacritic, it's yellow. It's in the 50s, I think.
All right.
But that's the same as the Shallows. Shallows was high 50s, though.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, we will. And movie news, what's going on? Oh, the ultimate cut of Batman vs. Superman is, I think it's available on digital now, and then the DVD comes out in a couple weeks. I don't know. I'm going to get it, but we'll see.
I don't need to own an ultimate cut. I didn't flat out hate the movie by any means. I enjoyed a lot of parts of the movie, but I don't need to own that.
Yeah. What else is going on? Star Wars Rogue One was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, and they have confirmed what everybody suspected was going to happen, is that Darth Vader is going to be in it. And James Earl Jones is going to do the voice.
Yeah. Well, given that he's still alive, it's hard to do a Darth Vader without James Earl Jones.
No, of course.
And then B, well, fucking course Darth Vader's going to be in it. It's literally centered around the time frame where he's ruling the fucking...
Exactly.
Galaxy with the Emperor. Of course he's going to be in it. Give me a break.
And
the new trailer's fucking badass. Well, it's not new. The trailer for Rogue One.
Oh yeah, the one that came out a while ago. Yeah. Oh yeah, because we both saw it when we saw when we went to the movies.
I saw it in both.
Really? I only saw it for The Shallows. Because Dirty A and I saw all three of these movies separately from each other. So it'll be interesting to get our opinions on everything. But I posted that after I saw Rogue One trailer again. I was like, you know. I just saw that trailer again. That trailer is dope.
It's a really good trailer, and then it just made me really sad to think that they're going to change it to try to make it more of a quote-unquote adventure story.
We'll see. We'll see what they do.
When that's not what this should be.
I don't know. I mean, I still have to read the Entertainment Weekly article, but...
I'm speculating, of course, but it should not be that.
That's what the rumor is.
It should be a hard spy movie. It should be Darth Vader going balls
out.
Killing people. And, I saw today where they said it may not have a scroll. It may not have a scroll, which actually I kind of think that's good. I think that should set it apart.
It is.
From the saga films.
Yeah.
And I think that they should do what they can to set these films apart, and that would be a very good way to say, oh, this is going to be different.
Because the weirdest thing, I remember seeing, I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw part of the Clone Wars movie, the cartoon that they did that was terrible. Not the cartoon itself, like the actual cartoon on Cartoon Network
was pretty good,
but the actual movie itself wasn't that great from what I saw. But I remember it was like that same weird bastardized version of the Star Wars theme. And you're just like, this doesn't sound right. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the music.
The music for sure. So iconic to any Star Wars movie. But they should definitely set this apart to let the audience know, hey, this is not part of your saga.
Yeah.
It's something different.
And of course, I'm sure when that movie comes out, we'll get a teaser trailer for episode 8. which they're I think they're just about wrapping up production, I think, on that principal photography at least. Another thing that's going on, well, possibly, there's a big rumor now that's floating around online that Fox, because of the performance of X-Men Apocalypse, did not do as well as the last X-Men movie. There's a big rumor floating around online that Fox is open to doing the Spider-Man thing with X-Men.
We'll see.
And yeah, we'll see what happens.
That's giving up a lot for them.
Yeah, I don't know how fast they could turn that around either. Yeah. So I wouldn't expect to see Wolverine in Infinity War 1.
Yeah.
But maybe Infinity War 2. Who knows?
We'll see. Again, that's a heavy rumor.
Yeah, that's a heavy rumor. Heavy rumor. But it's out there. I wouldn't be surprised if Fox maybe doesn't make a deal with X-Men, but I think they will definitely make a deal with Fantastic Four, probably. They'll do the Spider-Man thing with that. Sometimes I think it's okay that X-Men is in its own separate thing, but at the same time, Fox just keeps screwing them up mostly. So it's like, you know, I mean, X-Men Apocalypse was not great by any
stretch of the imagination. It was not terrible, but there was, from what it could have, should have been, it's far from that.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know of any other big movie news. Kind of in a lull season, getting ready for the fall movies.
Yeah, for all the fall movies and stuff like that. Yeah. Not movie news, but Person of Interest, one of our favorite shows, just wrapped up last week. And it just wrapped up last week. It was a great finale, I thought, for that show. Really good season
for what they had to work with.
Yeah, because the season was really
condensed.
It was really, really compressed because they had to basically just, you know, knock it out in 13 episodes, and then. And then CBS didn't do them any favors by jamming them out like
13 episodes. And oh, by the way, we're going to show you two per week.
Yeah,
kind of deal. But at least CBS, to their credit, let them have let them finish.
Yeah,
the story.
It was it was a real
good.
Or did they? It was a real good capper to Person of Interest. I'm sure we'll do another Person of Interest episode someday. I keep on saying,
there are persons that are interested.
Yes. Yes. It's one of our highest rated episodes on YouTube. One of our highest viewed ones. Yeah, the one that we did
a while back. It was a great show, and it's funny how the viewership it got in Loft and kind of just...
Oh, well, that's because of what happened with the show is that it went to procedural to sci-fi show.
But even when it went to sci-fi, it definitely had peaks and valleys of viewer. It was very odd, but for sure. As masterfully as the Nolans did that.
Yeah.
It I guess didn't fool the audience that much.
And
where they went with it.
Right. If you want to watch Person of Interest, and we highly suggest you do, it is
available. Doug's got all the DVD, so you message Doug.
That's not true. It is available on Netflix. The first four seasons are available on Netflix. I'm sure the fifth one will be available any week now.
It's a great show.
It's a great show. I kind of liken it to The Wire, in that not in content, but in the fact that it's a show that was really, really great and entirely underappreciated in its time that it was on. But I think that now that it's on Netflix, I think people will go back and watch it and be like, oh my God, the show was awesome.
Why didn't I watch it? The Wire had more to work with being a...
Oh, of course. Because it was on cable and stuff like that. And plus, Person of Interest had to deal with, you know, filler episodes because they're like, we have to fill out this whole 20-episode order. But it's a great show. If you're interested at all in watching it, check it out. And for Person of Interest fans who are kind of sad that it's gone, don't worry, because in October... Jonathan Nolan's coming back, he's coming back on HBO with Westworld, which is going to explore a lot of the same themes that were in Person of Interest.
The trailer looks pretty darn good.
At
least interesting.
Just with boobies. There'll be boobies in this.
Robot boobies.
Because it's on HBO.
So. Also, you know, Big Brother started back, so we could talk about that for an hour. I watched them today. I watched the house guests talk about peeing in the shower for a solid 15 minutes. The pros and cons of that.
My God.
So, there's that.
You could have just watched that episode of Seinfeld and be
That's right.
pleasant with that, happy with that.
So let's jump into our first movie here. We're going to talk about Pixar's newest addition to their family, Finding Dory.
Yes, Finding Dory. Finding Dory is the long-awaited sequel to Finding Nemo.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone was clamoring for this one.
I think people were. I wasn't, because I thought Finding Nemo was a very nice self-contained story, but apparently there needed to be a sequel. And surprisingly to me, I really, really liked Finding Dory. I liked it a lot.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. You did not like it as much as I did. I thought it was cute. I thought it was funny. There definitely are moments in the movie where it drags. They do kind of stretch. This felt like a story that should have been done on ABC, like in an hour-long special maybe, and they kind of stretched it out to make it to a feature movie.
And yet you loved it. You said
I didn't
right
say
there.
I didn't say I loved it. I said I liked it a lot.
I thought it was cute. I did not find it funny
at all.
No, really, I laughed at you know
part not of even
I,
Hank.
No, I didn't like Hank that much.
Really?
Nope.
I liked Hank.
I like. Sadly, the only parts I laughed at were the most offensive parts about this movie, which we can get into now or later if you'd like to.
Oh wow! Okay.
But that no one is even upset at the fact that Disney not once in this movie, but twice basically went full retard. Becky and that sea lion.
Oh, yeah, the sea lion.
Retarded sea lion that essentially gets bullied, but they don't even make them out to be bullies, but lovable kind of guys. But no one's up in a roar about this, I guess, because it's Pixar.
He wins in the end, though.
But I was just like, holy shit. Like, they weren't like, this guy's got some challenging issues about him. No, these animals were just basically fully retarded.
Yeah, I guess I can see that.
Think about it.
No, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and they basically had the one be bullied.
Yeah.
And had the audience laugh at that. Right. It's like, wow, really?
Yeah.
So I thought that was an odd way to go in this PC world today that Disney went.
Well, it's not just that, because, you know, in my review, I called Dory, basically, and Dory obviously is played by Ellen DeGeneres. She's back. I basically called Dory their Disney's first handicapped protagonist, because
are you forgetting Nemo, who literally had a gimp fin?
He was the protagonist in that story.
I'll tell you what, why don't you give your round out the synopsis of the movie, and then we can.
It's real simple. Basically what happens is that Dory, it's a year after Finding Nemo, even though it's been 13 years for us.
If you can remember.
My nephews loved Finding Nemo. They had the beach towel, they had everything, and now one of them is just graduated high school. So it's a year after Finding Nemo, and Dory is living with Marlin and Nemo in their little patch of the ocean, and she starts having flashbacks or memories to her parents, and little Dory was adorable. Come on. Little Dory was adorable.
She was very adorable, and then at the beginning I thought, oh my god, if she doesn't grow up, I'm going to be really annoyed.
Like, oh, you thought it was going
to
be...
Like, if I have to watch an hour and a half of this, I'm going to be really annoyed.
So, she has flashbacks to her parents, who are played by Eugene Levy and Diane Keaton, and she wants to go out in search of her parents, her family.
Right, she got separated from them, as you found out.
Right, as you find out later in the movie, yeah. You find out how she got separated from her family. And then she enlists Marlin and Nemo to help her, and they have to cross the ocean, basically, and go to California. And basically, they end up in a marine life institute. Then they get separated. And then that's why it's Finding Dory. Because Marlin and Nemo have to launch a rescue mission to get Dory, while Dory is searching for her parents throughout
this marine refuge, right. Aquarium area.
And she meets an old friend of hers named Destiny, who is a whale. She's a... What kind of whale was she again? She was a... I forget. And then she also meets a grumpy octopus played by Ed O'Neill named Hank, who she allies with him. And then
who apparently Ed O'Neill had no idea he was like a main star in this movie.
Really?
Voice work. He had no idea how big a role he actually had in the movie.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So he also didn't know he met Britney Spears one day.
That's right. So,
Yes, even
though
he met Britney Spears.
An Instagram picture.
Ed O'Neill is now officially the grumpy old man.
Yeah.
He's taking over from Tommy Lee Jones.
No, Tommy Lee Jones is just a grumpy old asshole.
Yes. Al Gore would disagree. His old roommate at college.
I don't know. He might agree.
Yeah, maybe. He is an asshole. He did not help me at all run for president.
I had this lockbox.
Anyway. So anyway. And that's basically the story. I mean, that's basically the story.
It's very simple because it is for kids.
It's very simple. But it is one of those Pixar movies that I felt that it wasn't like The Good Dinosaur, which was all the way for kids. This was, or Cars 2 for that matter. This one was kind of straddled the line. This one for me was closer to Toy Story 2 level sequel than Cars 2. It's not as good as the Toy Story sequels. Right. I mean, it's not as good. It's like I said, it does drag in parts. And although you feel sorry for Dory a lot, you feel bad for her because of like, I mean, her memory condition is like, cause like,
oh yeah, it's bad, and it's not humorous. She's aware that she has a serious condition.
They took what was a gag in the first movie and then made her a completely sympathetic character in this movie, which I think is incredible. Yeah, I think it's cool that they did that. Whereas Mater in Cars 2.
They had to, but
because she's the main character in this.
Yeah.
You know, Albert Brooks is back as Marlin. There's a new kid playing Nemo. Clearly. Because that kid's like 30 now.
Nemo's so not talking like this. I'm Nemo.
It's only been a year. And then Caitlin Olsen from It's Always Sunny is in this. And Ty Burrell is also in this as a beluga whale or whatever.
Yeah, someone.
He can't, he has
his echo.
Can't use his sonar.
Yeah, sonar.
And there's also, Dirty A mentioned the sea lions. The two sea lions who bully, we'll say, the not-so-smart one.
Right, okay.
Who gets his revenge in the end. He does.
Sort of.
He does.
It's not really revenge. It's just he's out there going, hey.
The two sea lions are played by, it's a Wire reunion. They're played by Dominic West and Idris Elba, who were enemies on on The Wire. So, it's a cute movie. I thought it was funny. But like I said, it does drag in parts because even though you do feel bad for Dory, there are times you're like, come on, Dory, get it together. It's like, you know, you're like, come on, get it together.
I was more on the spectrum towards this is all for kids than you were kind of a bit more in the middle.
Right.
I was more
and it's sad too. There's a lot of sad moments in it too.
A little bit. I saw this with a straight up Diz nerd, like Disneyphile, and she kind of agreed with me.
Really?
She said, I was a little bit bored.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yep. I'm not gonna say it's a bad movie. It's not a bad movie.
Well, you have no souls.
And you know, honestly, it's been so long since I've seen Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Maybe if I were to watch that now, I don't know. I might feel the same way about it. I don't know. But you know, I agreed with you. It was a very caring movie. It was.
Right.
It had a lot of heart to it. It had attempts at least it had child humor.
Right.
You know, kids that were laugh. And it had all these things, and I was still bored.
The best part for me was when Nemo and Marlin get thrown into that tank with the clam.
The clam.
And the clam's like, hey, what's going on? Hey, nobody comes to see me anymore.
No one's in there with him. Yeah.
And then he's just like, hey. They're like, okay, yeah, we got to go. We got
to
go now.
To that guy. Yeah.
I thought it was really good. I liked it a lot. But the Finding Nemo is still better, you know, and it's not as good as Inside Out, you know, it's not even close to Inside Out.
I mean, you're talking upper echelon.
But it wasn't Cars 2, which is what I was worried about because this one was ripe to be Cars 2 because, you know, it's the same kind of thing. You're taking a supporting character, making them the main character, and then hoping that their shtick can carry the whole movie.
I know that they've got. What was it you mentioned last time? They're contractually obligated
to do
these sequels.
They are.
It's so dumb. Just make a great original movie is all you need.
For every two originals, they have to give them a prequel or a sequel.
That's stupid.
I know
that's
it is.
That's a stupid contractual thing to do. And it could end up being the detriment of
oh, yeah. It'll water down the product for sure. Yeah. Because we're getting Cars 3. We're getting Toy Story 4, which could work.
I hope.
We talked about how Toy Story could work.
I hope they just get a new set of toys and just.
Oh, they won't. I mean, Tom Hanks is going
to
be in it.
That's that's how they need to do it.
But also, the flip side, that's great. We're finally getting Incredibles 2. So
that's true.
That's finally coming.
That's true. But who knows? Maybe that one could be not so incredible.
I don't know. I think Brad Bird got a little burned on Tomorrowland. That's so true. So now he's going to go back to the Incredibles.
But yeah, so this is not a bad movie, and certainly it's not a bad movie for children. I mean,
kids will like it. Although I did tell my friend, she was like, "Oh, is it good for the kids?" And I said, "I got to be honest. I said it's kind of sad. I mean, there are a lot of sad parts in it. So I mean,
a lot of Pixar. Inside Out was sad. I mean,
I know, but I mean, movies. Finding Nemo, there was like one sad part, and then you just okay, now we're on a little adventure. Now we're done. It's just constant. You're constant. So bad for Dory.
Well, you did.
I did.
You did.
You have no soul.
I did.
You have no soul.
I did not.
No soul.
Says the person who was okay with a bullying, a mentally challenged sea lion. You were okay with that.
I didn't see it that way through your ridiculously PC lenses.
But now that I mention it, you're like, oh yeah.
No.
No.
He was perhaps the smartest one of all.
No, definitely he not. Definitely he wasn't. He was. I don't think so. Him and his pill. and unibrow.
You know what he kind of looked like? Kind of looked John Oliver as a sea lion. And I thought maybe he might do the voice if he had a voice.
That would be bad.
Yes, so go see Finding Dory.
Yeah. It's, again, all my criticisms are just me as an adult going to see this movie, which I don't all. It's not that I don't like Inside Out, I loved. So it's not that I just have a blind spot to these movies, but this one just didn't fully do it for me. But still, it's not a bad movie worth checking out.
Right. Keeping with the water theme.
Oh, I see.
See how I did that?
Look at that transition.
Let's talk about a movie that is vastly different to Finding Dory, and that's The Shallows. This is a movie starring Blake Lively.
A.K.A. Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, hot wife. Mrs. Ryan Reynolds. Or is he Mr. Blake Lively? I'll let you decide. So, Blake Lively's in this, and pretty much that's it. I mean, it's Blake Lively by herself against a shark in The Shallows. And it sounds like, and everybody I talked to about this movie said, that movie sounds dumb as hell. Well, guess what? You should check it out, I think. Because it was good. It was solid.
It was solid.
It was very solid.
Very solid, and
you're not going to get Jaws out of this.
Luckily, right.
But it's a good survival story.
I hate that it draws the comparison simply because.
But every shark movie does. Every shark movie.
And they're like, maybe the best shark movie since Jaws. And it's just like, well, don't compare the two. They're completely different.
They're vastly different.
And to this movie's credit, it doesn't try to become something that it's not, and it stays short.
Right.
Definitely needs that compact timeline.
Yes.
Because you don't want to drag this out too much.
No.
Because
you'd be dead.
But if you think the plot to Finding Dory was simple, this is much simpler.
Yeah. Blake Lively is, and P.S. before we dive into this, before we do this,
you don't want to do that because it's shallow.
Right. You're not going to get this plot synopsis for Independence Day 4, Independence Day 2. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, okay.
So,
I'll give that one.
Oh, God. We're going to be here all week. So, not because of you.
Right.
Because try and figure it out. Right. So, anyway, Blake Lively is, she's a med student who.
Well, former med student.
Sort of. Contemplating dropping out.
Yeah.
Contemplating dropping out. Because her mother passed away recently. She was very close to her mother. And she has gone to this secluded beach in Mexico that her mother found.
Everywhere I look.
Something reminds me of her. And nobody will tell her the name of this place, so I'm surprised she found it in the first place. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Minor plot hole.
So, hey, can I get to this place that's secret that I'm not supposed to know about? Hop on in. I know exactly where we're taking you.
You know who got her there? The eye from Now You See Me Too, because they want everyone to know about it.
That's right.
So she goes to this place. She's going to go there to surf. She's trying to find her way because she's upset about her mother.
She's doing soul searching.
She's soul searching.
Soul searching journey.
Right. And her father is played by, what was his name? Goodwin from Lost. And he was also in Person of Interest.
I was about to say Person of Interest, but I didn't remember his name.
Right, Goodwin from Lost, and then
He was a very minor character in Person of Interest, just the friend who.
He was a pivotal character, but he didn't have a lot of screen time.
Yeah, he was the partner.
He only showed up in flashbacks. Right, basically, he was a flashback character. Right. You know, so he's trying to coax her to come back home and go back to med school and all this stuff. And she's like, I gotta find myself. So she goes there to go surfing. And then basically she goes surfing. She gets attacked by a shark.
and then she has to survive. And the tide goes out, and it reveals like this outcropping of rocks that she can, you know, stay on to keep the shark at bay. And but she has until high tide.
Yeah, basically she has what, the 12 hours or whatever from low tide to high tide to figure out what she's going to do before, because once high tide comes back in, she's
screwed. Yeah, she's screwed. And basically what happens is the reason why the shark is in this area is because there's like a dead whale.
There's a marooned dead whale that's basically a feeding ground for the shark.
For the shark. And then the shark is like, oh, well, here's some live.
How you don't smell that before, like when you're anywhere around, how you're not like,
Yeah, I mean, it's not a perfect movie, but it's a solid thriller, we'll say.
Yeah.
And the end does get to be a little much because I'm just like,
Tone it back a little bit.
Tone
it back. Like the shark constantly biting into metal
and not hurting itself.
I'm pretty sure that a shark. I'm not saying a shark's dumb, but I'm pretty sure a shark's not going to constantly bite full on into a metal object.
Especially when it's all like prongs together. Yeah, I'm like that shark would be dead.
Like, even if it jacked up his teeth, even a shark would be like, maybe I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was a little much. Yeah. So yeah, one of the places she finally gets inside this giant buoy, which she essentially ends up using almost like a shark roll cage.
Right.
But the shark keeps biting into the base of it. And it's just like probably not going to keep attacking an inanimate object.
That
it doesn't really know.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But
that went more into like Jaws territory when Jaws starts like trying to destroy the ship. And you're just like, I don't know.
Yeah. That was perfect. Just like everything in Jaws was perfect. And I don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry.
The difference is they were baiting Jaws.
That is true. They were
literally baiting
Jaws. Yeah.
So but they had also a reason to come at the ship. They had literally chum all around the water.
I don't think so.
You've never seen a great white like that before. But no, this movie essentially the exact opposite of Jaws, mm-hmm. in that it from the get go shows you the shark. It lets you know, hey, this is a fucking shark, and it's gonna hurt you.
Yeah,
Doesn't try to like use suspense and hide the shark. It's very full on.
Although I will say, knowing that the shark was gonna come and stuff like that, there was that feeling of dread where you're just like, they have like a lingering shot. You're just like,
oh, of course. I'm not saying that was the detriment of this movie.
Right.
I'm just saying it's a very direct opposition to
Jaws does. Right. But the other thing is too is that Spielberg did that because
the shark didn't work. Right. He had reasons for doing that. He would have gone another way.
Yeah.
So you could say
Spielberg's whole career is built on the fact, not a lie, but a shark that doesn't work.
Serendipitous. Non-starter shark, yeah.
Mm. Maybe you shouldn't show BFG either.
So essentially, this takes place within like roughly a 24-hour period where she's kind of stuck out in the water and has to kind of MacGyver herself, into doing something.
Yeah, because when the shark bites her, it's a bad wound.
Yeah, so that's of course how she figures out. She does get bit, in the leg, and that's the other very end thing.
Yeah.
That I was really pissed about. She's like, gangrene's already setting in on my leg. And then at the end, oh, no, look, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, that leg's gone. She lost that leg.
Yeah.
That's absolute horseshit.
Yeah.
That she didn't lose that
leg. If they had just taken that line out, it would have been fine. You could have been, okay, I'll buy it. But
well, not after showing it, too. It's like, give me a break. I mean, she put a tourniquet on her leg for 24 hours. Sorry, that leg's gone.
That's true. Yeah.
And it did show her relieving pressure and stuff. Right. But once she says gangrene setting in on this leg, it's like, well, you don't stop that.
Yeah.
You're going to lose something.
Yeah.
But no, like you say, the movie works because it is meant to be a thriller and a suspense, and it works on those levels.
Right.
It's very basic.
Right.
It's minimalistic. It doesn't have, you know, it's got all of, she's the only main character, and there's just a few other supporting characters.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I fully like it didn't distract me, and I guess in terms of finding a way to do it, which has been difficult lately, it's not the worst way, but the whole use of the phone and how they throw that.
Yeah.
So this has been an ongoing issue with how you relay text in a movie or pictures or something from the phone on a movie, and they basically kind of almost throw it up on the screen like a scrapbook style.
Right.
And show you her looking at pictures.
Yeah, at times it worked for me, at times it didn't.
Right. It's almost like they're like, they got a little happy about it.
Yeah.
And showed you things that you didn't really even need to see.
Yeah,
Look how cool we are. They went a little overboard with it. But honestly, the backstory isn't even necessary. I mean, they want you to feel a little bit of sympathy,
though, right? But well, they want you to understand why she's there.
Right, but that's going to be created anyway.
But I figured that shit out without her talking to. I didn't mind the pictures and stuff like that, and like I didn't mind that.
Yeah,
it was the part that bothered me is when she did the FaceTime with the father, and like that dialogue's just so clunky. It's so clunky.
It was unnecessary.
You didn't need that because you can piece together. Oh, her mother.
Well,
died.
You already had pieced it together,
right?
And then they verbalized.
Yeah, then they go, "Hey, for all the idiots out there, this is why I'm here.
If you haven't picked up on this yet."
But
I mean, the only thing you got out of that was that she was a med student who was kind of in hiatus.
Right. I guess they kind of had to get that out there because of what she does to survive.
No, it was necessary to get that out there, but there are other ways to do that.
Right, yeah.
Like I'm saying.
She could have just got an email.
That was just a big exposition.
She should have just got an email and just said, are you coming
home? But
you
need to know that she had skills in medicine.
Right.
And trauma type medicine because of what
she needs it.
Because of what she's out there doing. Otherwise, you'd think, well, this is BS. No one would do that.
It was bizarre, though, when she tried to bring the whale back to life and giving a CPR. That was bizarre.
Yeah, using the blowhole.
But it's a solid B movie. I mean, it really is, I thought.
It was good for what it was. It was great.
And Blake Lively is hideous. She's gorgeous.
Bikini?
She's gorgeous.
No, thank you.
And to be honest, and I think Blake Lively is one of those actresses who kind of gets like a bum rap, you know. But she's a decent actress. I mean, I've liked her in all the stuff I've seen her in. You know, I mean, Green Lantern wasn't a great movie, but she was fine in Green Lantern.
What was the last thing she was in?
Age of Adeline.
I didn't see that
much. Yeah, I saw that. She was good in that. I thought she was really good in that movie.
I never.
And she was good in this too. She's a good actress.
She's
she was also in the Town.
The Town. That's right.
I keep forgetting. I always forget that she was in The Town.
She was
the old girlfriend.
That's right. It's not like she's some standout actress or anything.
Right. I mean, she's not Meryl Streep.
Okay.
Yeah, got it.
You're right, because I like Blake Lively. But
you're going to totally see that singing movie with
Meryl Streep. She's certainly above average.
She's a
great actress. Great, not great. I always say that. I always say great when I mean good.
She's very good. She's a very good actress.
Yes, she is.
But
yeah, check out The Shallows.
Check it out. It is a little B movie ish, but it's good. It's solid.
Yeah, it's not doing anything. It doesn't set out to do. It's not going to pretend to be something. It's not.
Right.
Just go in there and enjoy an hour and a half, just under an hour and a half of a thorough ride.
Yeah,
with a couple lulls in there,
but for
the most part, it's paced well because it's so quick.
Yes, something that's not paced quickly and was nowhere near the best movie released this weekend. Is the sequel that nobody asked for.
But everyone gets.
Independence Day Resurgence.
Yeah.
Did you see Independence Day, but you want even less character development? Then go see Independence Day 2.
And even less action, really. I mean, it's got a little bit less everything. So the quick idea, this is a solid 2 hours.
Yeah.
The quick idea of this movie is it takes place 20 years.
You just use the one I use my review.
Yeah, 20 years after the original Independence Day.
Oh, it's been exactly
it's
20
been
years.
Exactly 20 years, right? And oh, guess what? There's another attack on the horizon.
What? No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Guess what? Bigger attack.
What?
They've totally gone bigger. Like, did they get better technology? Nope. Just build a bigger ship.
You want to talk about a movie that goes full retard?
Yeah. And how about they so badly want to be like Star Wars? Like when you see the Emmerich Roland did that, the opening shot of the ship, it's just like, don't. Like just
the soundtrack was like a ripoff of Star Wars.
It's like, just don't. It so badly wanted to be Star Wars, but I liken this more to a cheap, Starship Troopers knockoff.
It's terrible.
It's Starship Troopers, but it's not satirical.
No.
Which means it's pointless.
Would you like to know more?
Yeah. So nothing about this movie works.
Nothing about this movie works.
You can't piece together anything in this movie.
And there's people online, they're like, I loved it. I'm like, you're out of your mind.
Crazy people.
It is terrible.
Crazy
people. And
if you need any semblance of like a cohesive plot in your movie, this doesn't happen.
And the problem, and the sad part is, and this is, I hammered this home in my review, because I gave it a D minus.
It's worth
it. Entertainment Weekly gave it an F. And they don't give anything an F.
It's that bad. Okay, let's just talk about all the many gaping plot holes in this movie.
I want to say Collider gave it. What did they give it? Oh, they did give it like a D something. Because
of course
no. But it was Perry Nemiroff, who's always very like she gave like Eddie the Eagle like an A.
Oh right.
So yeah. she's very kind. She gave it a D.
There's no way you can give this movie a higher ranking. There's just no way. There's nothing about. Okay.
Terrible.
Okay, so 20 whole years have passed. Okay? 20 entire years. years have passed. And they show, like, how the technology has created this new defense system for them.
Right.
And Air Force. And the military is completely changed, overhauled. civilian infrastructure changes? No, they show, like, one monorail. Like a monorail. Like you got flying things all over, but just a monorail. And they the one blurb about it. This has really changed our infrastructure. Like in the president's speech.
Yeah.
But yet they're still on the road. 20 years later, when you show people going out of town, they're in like an old 70 station wagon,
mm-hmm.
a bus that is literally gas fueled bus.
Right.
That is all, everything.
This should have been like Watchmen. Where, as soon as Dr. Manhattan gets his powers and reveals himself to the world, basically, he changes everything.
Right.
They're all electric cars. They're all this. They're all that.
Because that's the only way this makes sense.
Exactly.
You're never gonna, even if the government had taken this technology that everyone knew about and kind of hoarded it.
Right.
People were still gonna get their hands on it, like independent contractors.
Right,
And do their shit with it. And
Warlords would have gotten their hands on it too.
Now let's talk about that, because that's the first huge gaping hole in this movie.
Deadpool.
Is that 20 years have passed, yet somehow in this entire 20 years, the only ship that landed on the planet, that landed on the planet and stayed on the planet, has not been looked at by any government or military. Because it was being secured by a warlord in a third world country. 20 years and no military has had access to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Horseshit. That doesn't even make sense.
No, yeah.
Nothing about that makes sense.
Yeah.
But they want you to believe that they were just granted access to this for the first time by this warlord simply because his father died. And now there's an impending,
it's not that he believed in helping them.
Well, because he had a connection.
Right. So he has a connection. Bill Pullman has a connection.
Yeah.
They bring back Brent Spiner, because I rewatched Independence Day this weekend after I saw the second one. That motherfucker was dead.
He was dead. Okay.
They broke his neck. He was dead.
Okay. But you know what, Doug? Let's assume he didn't die.
Okay.
Let's assume he is just in a coma for 20 years.
Right.
Where all this technology has ran, just gone light years ahead of anything he would have been looking at, but yet he is still the crux of everything
when
he wakes up 20 years later.
Exactly.
No atrophy, no nothing
right.
to his physical exactly. body. But
his hair is still the same length.
but yet he is still the crux of technology in this movie. It makes no sense.
And apparently he was gay. He's
He's been sleeping for 20 years.
The thing I kept hammering home in my review is that the biggest insult with this movie is that
it was made.
Yes, but if you take all the pieces that Roland Emmerich, and it's Roland Emmerich again, and five fucking screenwriters.
Yeah, you saw that too. Huh?
Yeah. There was a kid sitting next to me. He could have been like, he was probably in high school. He was a teenager. Even he was like, oh my God, look at those freaking writers. You know this movie's terrible. I was like, nice kid, nice.
Yeah.
You should come on the Hot Watch podcast. So here's my card. So the biggest insult with this movie is that if you take all the pieces that they gave you, there was a decent sci-fi movie there that they could have cobbled together, but they didn't. They made five screenwriters, and at every turn, they made the wrong choice.
Yeah. every place where you're supposed to laugh at this movie, it felt dead.
Oh my god!
Not just to me, but no one.
They had not one, but two
comedic
blatant comedy relief guys. They were just incompetent assholes. They were just incompetent douchebags.
You mean to tell me that this I'll call him a kid, however old he's supposed to be. He's the guy that's a part of this new NASA.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, of course not. No. So you've got Bill Pullman, the warlord guy.
Bill Pullman, the unnecessary Bill Pullman.
I would say of all the characters from the first movie, he's the only one who was necessary to bring back. And Jeff Goldblum.
I'm sorry.
And Jeff Goldblum.
But to the plot of this movie.
Right.
He's irrelevant. Right. They want to make him relevant.
Right.
Jeff Goldblum's character, they just decided to do almost a 180 on his character.
Yeah, it's a 180 on his character, but he's also Mr. Exposition. That's all he does.
Yeah.
Basically, what this movie does is they take one character trait for each person, and that's their character. You've got Liam Hemsworth. And please, for the love of God, Hollywood, stop trying to make this guy a star.
Hey,
he sucks.
That was my other big problem with this movie. Hemsworth light.
Yeah, he's horrible. I'm sorry. He seems like a nice guy.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. Guess what?
He should not be leading any movies anymore. He can do supporting work, whatever, fine.
Chris Hemsworth is... have an intervention with your brother.
Yes, he's terrible. So he's impulsive. That's his character. The kid, what's his name? Jesse.
His kind of sidekick.
No, screw that guy. Fuck that guy.
Which kid?
His name's Jesse T. Usher, I think. He plays Will Smith's son.
Oh.
That's his character. He's Will Smith's son. That's it. That's all he does. I'm Will Smith's son. He had this look on his face the whole movie. Like, his character was thinking the whole time, they're going to find out I can't even fly this fucking thing. Oh, God.
It made no sense to put him.
Why does he go back to try and save his mother when he has a ship that won't fit her in it anyway?
Yeah.
He just goes there to watch her die.
Literally. Okay. You know what? Why would he do that? Fuck if I know. How did he know that she'd be right there? Hell if I know. How about this, though? The ship that does go back to safety.
Yeah.
Why would it?
Yeah.
Destruction has happened everywhere.
Yeah.
Why would it go back for two people?
Right.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. That hospital.
And then here's my question. Why were they there? Why was she even getting destroyed? Didn't she live in L.A.?
Yeah, and it happened on the fucking...
On the East Coast.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But Vivica A. Fox, I'm glad you went from stripper to doctor. Congratulations.
Kudos
good for
to you.
You. Kudos for you. Yeah. That's the reason why, because Independence Day was on HBO Now. So I was like, well, let me watch it, because I'm like, did she say something like she was being a stripper because she was going to medical school? No.
She's just a stripper.
Just stripper. That's it.
Yeah, it was almost, in that movie, it was empowering to her.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was more empowering to be a doctor.
Because you know how easy it is to go from being a stripper to being a doctor when you're a single mom.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. Like, this kid, like, they made a point in the first movie saying, he's not Will Smith's kid. Well, all of a sudden, he's your son. Now, obviously, he raised him and everything. Great. Okay, right. Fine, great. But they went out of their way in the first movie to say that he wasn't the father.
Yeah, and clearly in this one, he is.
And they're like, oh, you're the greatest person who ever lived. But they never show you anything.
He's literally treated just like a legacy in a fraternity.
Exactly. And that's the problem with this movie. Yeah. There's all these legacy characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's the president's daughter. What's her character trait? She's the president's daughter.
She can fly, Doug.
You
never see it, but she
Jeff Goldblum is just Mr. Exposition. Brent Spiner is just crazy. That's his character trait. He's crazy. You have annoying comic relief guy. You have the warlord, who is basically Black Deadpool light.
No, wait. He's Deadpool from Wolverine Origins.
Right.
Because he doesn't talk.
Well, I said Deadpool light.
Okay.
Light. You have the other guy, who is like some government sad sack, who is Mr. Comic Relief Part 2. He's terrible.
Because
they're not funny. Because the writers are not funny.
He's that standard baffling.
Right.
Bumbling, like,
right.
I get myself into situations, but I can't get out of them. But then in the end, I'm going to become a badass.
Exactly.
This movie is one giant trope.
It's all stock characters. And the reason why I said Bill Pullman is good. He's the only one who seems to actually be acting in this.
Right.
He's trying. Bill Pullman's the only one who's trying. They do him no favors with the screenplay being terrible as it is, but he's the only one who's trying. Judd Hirsch, they destroy his character from the, and let's be clear here. the characters from Independence Day 1 are not these fantastic characters.
No. We're not comparing.
But again, I watched it again. They did actually take, they are stock characters in Independence Day 1. But at least they take the time to try and make them into like real characters.
I love, and they do this. This is the only movie
right
that does this.
Because it's a disaster movie. It's supposed to be schlock. But
what I'm getting at is in the first one, Jeff Goldblum and his then soon to be ex wife, you know, fall back in love, and that was a right. big deal. Not even mentioned in this movie. Oh, that didn't work out.
Yeah,
like what the fuck?
It's Judd Hirsch though. They take his character who
should really be the only comic relief you need in the
movie. Exactly. They take his character and basically destroy him. They show him to be a opportunistic piece of shit when he's like, "Oh, I wrote a book about how I saved the world. You didn't do shit." So
well, now that said, in the first one, it's not like he lent himself to be some superior.
But he was like the wise old man. He was the wise old man, you know. Right. So you should listen to my David. You'd be dead if it wasn't for him.
Well, God, it was more of a Jewishy.
Right. But then he found his religion again, and he helped the people. You know. So yeah, this movie is just. It's not like the first movie was schlock. It was fun schlock. This is dreck, which is different.
And look,
this is garbage. Listen,
and if you don't want to believe what Doug's saying, let me tell you this. I like the first one enough.
You like it more than I do.
More than you do. That's what I'm getting.
Like, I'll admit that I didn't love it. Right. It loses me when the dog outruns the explosion. Sure. At that point, I'm like, fuck this movie.
But taking that extreme out of it, I thought the first one was decent. Certainly a lot more than you did.
Right.
This one is not anything like that.
Right.
It is all terrible.
Yeah. I mean, for a guy who's trying to fucking rip off Star Wars, he doesn't realize that the most important thing about Star Wars is the characters. There's a reason why The Force Awakens made $900 million domestically.
Right.
It's because people want to see Harrison Ford as Han Solo again. And
there's a reason why Han Solo is Han Solo.
Exactly.
Right.
President douchebag from the, you know, nobody cares who these people are.
You gotta love how they opened the movie up with that fucking stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Speech again.
The thing that kills me the most about having Will Smith's son in this or whatever, you know, and it's not Jaden Smith,
the but character,
the character of Will Smith's, whatever is it, Heller. Is it, his son is because.
Maybe it's Hiller.
It was Hiller. This is a worldwide invasion. You could make it with a whole completely different cast of characters. Anyway. You don't need these quote legacy characters in this.
You know what? That brings up my next point, which is, again, this is worldwide, just like it was the first time. But again, why is it so U.S. centric?
Oh well, that's because America rules the world.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. At least they give her a council, but then they make the president still the one who orders everything.
Right?
Like,
exactly.
No, that's not what happened. That's not how that would work.
What they should have done is they should have. It's like I said. So they have the people who have like connection with aliens. They could have made this like a very creepy, cool sequel where they're just like they're going crazy because the aliens are like seeping in their brains or whatever.
People think they're crazy.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You could have made it very creepy and very cool. But there's no mystery in this movie. Like in the first movie, like when the aliens show up and you see the trailers and they blow up all the stuff and everything, you're like, okay, they're gonna go to war. But it's like they build up a mystery about the aliens. There's no mystery here. We forgot the dumbest part about this movie. Where they say, oh, it's not enough that we're going to rip off Star Wars. Let's rip off Falling Skies, too. Yeah. Here comes the good aliens.
Yeah.
The good aliens that we attacked.
You mean Eve?
Yeah, right?
It was essentially...
Exactly, yeah.
Eve
from Wall-E.
From Wall-E, yeah.
There's this other alien race, but they're robots, I guess. They're a robot race.
They're like, we're going to... Well, they evolved...
Right.
Above the human form, is how they put it, which is cool. That's kind of cool. But yeah, it's like they've come to help because they know the humans are the only ones that can do anything. But why? Why are the humans?
Yeah.
If you have another planet,
right.
Why is this the only planet that can
exactly.
do that?
Makes exactly. Sense. It's stupid. And then, of course, then they go a step further at the end and they say, well, we're going to rip off aliens and Godzilla all at once.
Did you notice the alien ripoff too?
Yeah.
Okay, with the giant. Yeah. I was like, oh, look, it's the queen. I get it.
Yeah. And then she's as big as Godzilla. Yeah. So it's just like, all right, come on.
We got it.
It's ridiculous. This movie's garbage. And just ridiculous. There's so many implausibilities.
And then at the very end, of course, the whole movie was just to set up another
one. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're like, oh, we're going to go intergalactic. And Liam Hemsworth's like, when do we go? I'm like, by the way, you do know that billions of people just fucking died, right? And you're just like, yay! Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
How about the ship? Okay. How about the giant ship that's so fucking big, it takes up the whole Atlantic Ocean, has its own gravity well, okay? But that one little ship, that little boat in the ocean is just like, nothing's affecting us.
Whatever.
Nothing's affecting us.
We're just a couple miles away.
Must be our anchor.
We're good.
Must be our anchor.
Yeah.
Garbage. This movie's fucking garbage. Yeah,
if it has its own...
Oh!
If it has its own gravity pool, that shit would have never stopped.
Yeah.
Water.
It would have destroyed the Earth.
It's not just going to stop once it...
That goes all the way back to Transformers the cartoon. Oh, you're bringing Cybertron here? That's going to destroy the Earth.
Right.
Hello. It's the same thing as if the moon crashes into the fucking Earth.
Well, here's another question I have. Okay.
One? You only have one question?
No. we've already cycled through some. Okay. If they have this literally world swallowing size ship, mm-hmm. why do they need boots on the ground?
Who the hell knows?
Why did they need?
Who knows?
Did they need that team unnecessary?
I love how they...
It actually seems like that's just the only reason that they failed.
I love how they retcon the fact that they're like, oh, they were trying to drill into the Earth's core. It's like, oh, really? That's what they were doing? Okay. Fuck you.
Yeah. Why? Could you maybe explain that a little more?
It's freaking terrible. This movie's freaking terrible. Yeah. And thankfully, it didn't do nearly as well as they were hoping that it was going to do at the box office.
Is it actually going to lose money?
Probably. I hope so.
It's the budget for it was basically $200 million.
Something like that.
It's essentially got the budget of The Force Awakens, and it's worse than a low rent Starship Troopers.
It's terrible. It's garbage. It's just garbage.
And when I say that, by the way, I'm not even putting down Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Which works in its own right as a satire, by the way.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that this movie is trying to be super high budget.
Yeah.
And it feels more like a Starship Troopers without the satire, so it's pointless. Right. But I actually don't mind Starship Troopers that much, so I don't want you to think I'm putting down that movie.
What they should have done is they should have had a whole brand new cast of characters, and then you should have, and if you want to keep Goldblum's character consistent with what he did in the first movie, he should have been off on his own studying the technology, and then he has to come back to help them because they're like, oh, aliens are back.
He's figured out something.
Figured shit out, right. So, but no, he's just...
He's literally just called in.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just like, you know, a schlep for the government. And
that was, as soon as that happened, like, that was the first thing that absolutely killed me when I'm like, wait a minute, you're telling me after this literally worldwide disaster last time, mm-hmm. and the only solid piece of technology that they have, they didn't confiscate it from warlords, from a single warlord in a third world country? No. Yeah.
And they build the ion cannons from Empire Strikes Back.
I mean, it's just like they use all this money and technology, but it's only used for the military, too. You
know? Yeah. You're like, come on. Yeah. How come that hospital that Vivica A. Fox worked in wasn't, like, so fucking, like,
yeah, why tricked don't out? Just walk in and be cured?
Yeah, right?
I mean, like, why don't they have bio suits for people?
Exactly. That, you know, it's garbage.
Some of these things you may think are nitpicky. I'll tell you what. You go see the movie, and then you tell me what you think.
Yeah.
It all comes together as one big piece of shit.
Yeah. I was laughing at it, but not because it was funny.
Yeah.
I was laughing at it because it was fucking...
I wasn't laughing. I was rolling my eyes. I wanted to walk out.
Yeah, God, it was terrible. So bad. One other movie that I saw that Dirty A is not sure if he's going to see or not.
I mean, I want to see it.
Right. I saw Nicholas Winding Refn's new film, Neon Demon. You want to talk about a guy who's got his head up his own ass. It's not as bad as Only God Forgives, which was probably our biggest disappointment of all time. It's not as bad as that, but it's kind of a mess. But it's a mess. It's really fucked up. The movie's really fucked up.
I like fucked up.
I know. Yeah, you might like it more than I did. There's a lot of stuff in it that's disgusting. I mean, it's just disgusting.
I like it already.
But see, my problem is this, you know, and I'm not saying that I expect all his movies to be like Drive, but the reason why Drive worked so well is because he adapted it from a novel. So there was like a solid story structure. There's a story structure there. Visually, Refn is amazing. As a visual director, he's amazing. Only
God Forgives was visually.
Yeah. Stunning. Oh yeah. Yeah. It was stunning. Yeah. And then this movie's the same. And he works with Cliff Martinez again, who does the soundtrack, which is fantastic. Everybody does a really good job in it for what they're given.
It's all about the story.
It's all about the story for me. And the story is just a mess. And I understand the symbolism. And you'll see it. There's a lot of symbolism in it. And I understand all that stuff. But I'm just like, I'm still sitting here going, what's the point?
Clearly, he tries to work on a different level.
He does, yeah.
I mean, let's be fair.
He's got his head up his own ass.
He is.
When the title card comes up and it starts out with just his initials, and then the title card, I'm like, oh, wow. You pretentious fuck. Yeah.
Like, you're NW, pretentious. Like, no one sees NW and thinks
NWR.
Nicholas Refn.
NWR.
NWR, yeah. No one thinks Nicholas Refn. But yeah, he's definitely a guy that marches to the beat of his own drum when it comes to directing and we may not be the right people to enjoy it, but there are a lot of people out there
that do. Oh, yeah. My one friend up in New York, he loves Only God Forgives. Right. He loves it. And I'm just like, sorry, man, I can't get behind that one.
No. And I like some weird shit, but nah.
Yeah. This movie also has an issue, and I'm not going to really spoil anything for you, but it has an issue. It has the Snow White and the Huntsman issue for me, in that when you have Charlize Theron go to a mirror and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Oh, you are, but this other girl's coming along. And it's Kristen Stewart? No, I'm sorry.
Right.
When you have a movie about models, the modeling world, and you say, Elle Fanning is the most beautiful woman in the world. She's a cute girl. No, I'm sorry. She's not. To me, she's not. And it's just like, if I can't, but to me.
I get that, but that's a subjective thing.
It is a subjective thing. No matter
who they put in there, someone's going to be like, but that person's not the
most. True. But I mean, But I mean, for me, that's part of, I just couldn't like really buy. They're like, she's so beautiful. I'm like, not really. Not really. Yeah. I don't know why everyone's getting so up in arms. Not really. So it's like,
is it still kind of Black Swan? Is that the whole idea of it?
Yes, but Black Swan was better.
Well, of course. I'm not comparing which one.
Black Swan, because this one is very. Her turn is very bizarre.
Okay.
And I thought there was going to be more of a carry thing to it, but there's not.
It's like a switch.
No. I thought there was going to be more of a carry thing.
The movie carry. Where she kind of mentally goes through a process before she pretty much goes crazy.
Right.
She has a trigger.
Right. But not just that, but also that like...
What do you...
Because the other models hate her. So I thought there was going to be a carry thing where they go after her.
They actually go after her.
And then she goes,
and that's why, right. That's right. But there's
a lot of just weird shit in this that I'm just like, that just kind of leads to nowhere.
Okay.
Like, she does have premonitions and stuff like that in her dreams, but like, you're just like,
what does that really mean?
What does it really mean? Okay. And it's like, I understand a lot of the symbolism. Okay. And again, I won't spoil it for you.
All right.
I understand a lot of the symbolism. We'll talk about it more after you see it, but. There's just some stuff in it. I'm just like, I don't know why that's in this movie.
For me,
it was a C-. Whereas, because visually, it's fantastic. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful movie to look at, and there's a lot of very stark imagery and stuff like that. And you know, the performances were fine for what they were given. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I don't like Elle Fanning. I do like Elle Fanning a lot. Right. I mean, she was really good in Super 8 and other stuff I've seen her. She's very, very good. It's just that if I was going to, like, when I think fashion world, classically beautiful, I think Angelina Jolie is Gia in Gia. You know, that's,
right.
Now granted, she was playing a real person that she looked like, so it's different, but that's where my mind goes to. Elle Fanning's a little bit more plain Jane for me.
Okay. I mean, on some level, I.
But then again, that might have been his point as well, too. Could have been part of the point as well. That's what people love.
I'll have to check that one out. On some level, I feel bad for Refn because he is chasing this. He had such a strong out the gate directorial debut with Drive.
Was that his debut?
Well, at least in the U.S. it was.
Yeah, because he did something else before that. I think
that was such a good movie.
But it's still polarizing. A lot of people don't like that movie.
But I'd say...
I mean, I loved it, but a lot of people don't like that movie.
I'd say it's a little polarizing, but I'd say most people like it.
Yeah.
Certainly better than...
Oh, I know one person doesn't like it.
I'm not saying people that don't, but I'm not. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's like fully polarizing.
Right.
It was such a solid movie, better than solid.
My friend who likes Only God Forgives, his theory on it, he goes, the reason why people don't like it is A, it wasn't Drive. I say, well, that's not why I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But at the same,
it's true. That's not untrue, but it's not the reason we didn't like it.
Right. But he also said, and also people can't accept that the main character is actually the cop, is actually the main character and not Ryan Gosling.
No, that's not my problem.
And I'm just like, it was a 30-minute movie stretched out.
That almost goes right along with it's not Drive, because you want Ryan Reynolds, but it's kind of one and the same.
I did same thing.
Ryan Gosling, the main character. So yeah. I wanted Ryan Reynolds in that movie. Yeah. But we all know how much I love Drive.
So yeah, yeah. But like the thing for me is like, you know, my biggest problem with Only God Forgives is that it was a 30-minute movie stretched out to an hour and a half.
Yeah, for sure. It was unforgiving, but I can't wait to check this one out and see how well I do or don't like it.
Yeah.
Did you hear what he wants his next movie to be?
Well, not his next movie, but it's something he wants to do. He wants to do Batgirl.
He wants to do Batgirl.
And I got to be honest, when I first read it, I said that would be terrifying. But
it would depend on whether he wrote that.
If he got somebody else to write it, I would love to see him do a comic book movie. If somebody else wrote it,
he would nail it. If he has the story behind it.
Right. Because he I know he does it on purpose. So, like, I know it's like an art house thing for him to do
Clearly, he is a visual director.
Yeah.
Clearly, that's what he, above everything else, that's what he, as a director, wants to put forth.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's great, but any movie, it needs to be a story first.
Yeah. That's my feeling on it. Yeah. I'm not a big, like, I like indie films, and I like certain art house films, but I don't like art house films. Just, I don't like films that are difficult just for the sake of being difficult. And it's just like, stop it.
Like,
it,
you need a story behind it.
Yeah. I definitely need a story.
You know what? Take, for instance, one of my, favorite directors, not from this country, Chan Park.
Yeah.
Okay. Korean director.
Right.
His movies are visually great.
Mm-hmm.
They are bonkers at times.
Yeah.
But there's a good story there to follow.
Right.
You look at Old Boy.
Right.
There's a great story there that goes along with his bonker style.
Right.
But at the base of it is this great story. You always need a good story.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point of a movie without a story?
Yeah.
Why are you there?
Yeah.
You know, I know all the, God knows if I have to hear one more time, I just go to the movie, I just have fun. I have fun too, but the way I have fun is enjoying the story.
Yeah.
If you don't give me a story, you know, you can't just give me fucking Michael Bay, you know,
Roland Emmerich,
Jerry Bruckheimer vomit at the screen
and
expect me to just have fun with it all the time. And just no.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Did we just
become best friends?
Yep. Speaking of a good story, real quick before we go, we won't go into too much detail, but last night was the season finale of Game of Thrones.
I don't care.
Oh, wow.
It was good. Like
the explosive
finale. I am not a huge Game of Thrones fan like everyone else is.
Right.
Like, I'm just pretty much passive about it. But yeah, it was good. At least... The first half hour was really good.
Mm.
I thought the second half hour was pretty passive and pretty much fell into place like you were expecting all season. But the first half hour, I thought was really good. I was like yelling at the screen like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, there was a lot.
Oh,
there was a lot of that last night at my house. I was just like, "Oh!" But it was really good. I was really pleased with it. But eventually, maybe someday we'll do a Game of Thrones episode.
Probably not,
because it'll have to be a time when you're out of town. Matt comes and we take over the Hodgepodge podcast. So that'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge podcast. Definitely go see Finding Dory. Definitely go see The Shallows.
Yep.
Do not go see Independence Day 2.
No.
Do not.
Unless you want to be mad at yourself.
Yes.
Shame yourself.
And if you're feeling adventurous and brave, maybe go check out Neon Demon.
But, I'm definitely feeling both those.
But it's,
I can't wait to see that movie.
It's fucked up. I'm just going to put it out there. It's fucked up.
Fair enough.
So next time, maybe we'll do this whole slew of other crap that's coming out. We're seeing a couple movies this week on screeners.
Yeah, we're the seeing Purge coming
Purge
out.
Purge 3. Three Purge movies. Three times we've seen it for three, yeah. For free. Yeah! Fuck you, Purge.
Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
We're going to see that this week.
That'll be this week.
And then I'm definitely going to be seeing BFG and Tarzan
this week. Yeah, I'm not sure I'll have time this weekend to catch any of the ones that are actually opening, but I look forward to, at some point, seeing BFG, Star Wars, I mean, Tarzan.
Star Wars.
I don't know why. Tarzan, I don't.
You're not interested in that. Eventually, I'll probably go see Free State of Jones, but that'll probably be on a Discount Tuesday.
I'll probably wait for DVD.
And that'll do it for us. See you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.